all of a sudden, just all the lights that probably go out, your cell phone's going to be dead, anything that's not protected. It's a form of radiation. It really acts like lightning to our electronics. It's in our cell phones, even our cars nowadays. It will surge so much radiation that it will short circuit that equipment. It can have a very sophisticated payload for collecting information. There are a few people who are testing what we'll do, seeing what our response is. That's all important information for the bad guys.
Valuable and free information from experts are contained in the short 7 to 15 minute podcast. We want to help people understand the various end time threats and provide real time solutions along with the tools needed for the friends, families, and businesses to survive. Followers of our channel can receive a free action guide on each topic weekly. We hope that these guides will help people prepare for the serious threats we all face at this time in history. Hey, good afternoon. This is John White. I'm the host of the Worldwide Threat Podcast. Today, we have a guest named Steve Stratton, who's an expert in EMP. He's going to tell us all about it and how to prepare. So welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
This is good because the first show we put up was about cyber, and we've got a great audience loving what you did. Describe EMP, define it, what it is, what it does a little bit, so this audience gets a heads up on it.
Sounds good. Yeah, the traditional way of thinking about EMP is that somebody would use an altitude burst or explosion of a nuclear device, maybe 250 miles above the Earth, and that ionizes the atmosphere and essentially causes a lightning type effect to happen on circuitry. So it has no human effects at all, and it's been studied quite a lot. But for example, they did a test back in the 60s where they exploded a device over Johnson Island Atoll out there in the Pacific, 800 miles away in Honolulu. Lights went out, fuses blew, telephone system was interrupted just because of that, the power behind that radiation. So it will actually burn a circuit board because that circuit acts like an antenna. The scary thing is somebody might think to use that because it's not as crazy as actually detonating a nuclear device over, you know, Mooresville, North Carolina, or, you know, DC, that kind of thing, right? There's a bunch of science about it, but really it's almost like having lightning hit your electronics. And electronics are so dense and fragile nowadays that they burn out is what really what's like lightning hit them.
So what does EMP actually mean?
Electromagnetic pulse. It's a form of radiation. Like I said, it really acts like lightning to our electronics, especially our very dense, right, highly compacted together electronics in our cell phones, radios, even our cars nowadays, right? So it will surge so much radiation that it will short circuit that equipment and burn circuitry and things like that.
The EMPs also can come from solar flares and those kind of things as well?
Exactly right. Yeah, when we get a big flare off the sun's corona, that can also have that kind of effect. Most of the time, the distance, the atmosphere sort of takes care of that for us, so it doesn't burn up our electronics. It may make the cell system a little crazy. It will cause interference in radio systems, but they don't usually burn out.
Does it work just on the digital? Is it analog or digital or both or what?
Potentially anything with a circuit. But if you've got an older motorcycle or you like 1950s cars, it's not going to be a problem, really. It's to the newer stuff where we've got chips and integrated circuits that really are affected. I know several people that keep an older car just in case, you know, an older Jeep or something like that, or a pickup, because that way, you know, it's less likely that it would be affected.
Yeah, but the gas pumps won't be working, will they?
No, probably not. You probably have to have a hand pump or a battery pump idea. There are several ways to combat the potential issue of EMP. One is to completely shield the equipment, like In the military, we put our computers in when we talk about EMP, we shield them in hard cases of metal and ground them and things like that. So the charge would sort of flow around the end of it and go to the earth. You can also buy things for newer cars that will really are almost like surge protectors. If you think about a surge protector in your house, they make surge protectors for EMP that you can put in different places on your car to protect the electronics, your car or truck, that kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. There are vendors out there who do that. You can also get that done at your house. If you already have a generator, you know, it might make sense to make sure you have that kind of protection on the generator so it can start up when the rest of the power is out.
All right, so somebody can go out and buy a gadget to hook to their car, and if there's an EMP, the car will not be affected by it?
Less likely. I won't say 100%. You know, if you're right over the middle of Kansas where they, detonate this device, it may or may not work. But they test these things with very high, very quick transient voltages. These companies have good reputations. They've gone through a lot of testing with Department of Energy to make sure that these things work. So
we need to find some of those things and probably tell our audience maybe an action guide about that stuff. Last year, about a year and a half ago, remember when the Chinese floated that balloon over the U.S.?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was an EMP or just them trying to test our metal. What do you think about that idea?
I don't believe there was an EMP component to that. It was really doing surveillance and information gathering, right? It was a different attempt. Instead of maneuvering a satellite, every time you move a satellite, it has a cost because you're spending that jet fuel and there's not much of it you can carry up into space. So having a high altitude balloon gave them a long, low, slow ride over America. And if they were smart, right, they're just collecting that information, immediately transmitting it off the balloon somewhere else. So that eventually when the Air Force, takes down the balloon, you haven't lost all the data you collected. So it was an ingenious way to get a view to some sites they normally wouldn't get a view to at a low cost way. And now they've converted to using drones, right?
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing. Have you been watching what's going on in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah. Jersey, yeah. A good friend of mine wrote a book series that started with some drones over San Diego and naval air stations. And so it's like life imitating fiction. So,
well, I don't know much about it. And I thought it'd be a great idea for a worldwide threat because the video I saw on it was that these things are the size of a car. And I don't know what that means, but there's a bunch of people, including the governor, getting a little unglued about these things flying over their state. So
yeah, when they're that big, they're a danger in the airspace, right? And it's not hard to have a modular unit where you connect four pieces that are the motors and the arms that are going to fly this big thing around, and then it can have a very sophisticated payload for collecting information, right?
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's I think there are a few people that one Chinese gentleman was just caught. There are a few people who are testing what we'll do, seeing what our response is. That's all important information for the bad guys.
So going back to the EMP, if an EMP goes off, will you feel anything physically?
No, I used to joke that it would make my teeth spark because I've got a few silver fillings or something like that.
Nice.
But no, it's not like that. I don't believe you would feel a pulse. But all of a sudden, just all the lights would probably go out, your cell phone's gonna be dead, anything that's not protected. By some of that equipment we talked about for the cars, or you can also buy backpacks and handbags and duffel bags that are EMP proof. There are companies like Silent and others that produce this kind of equipment. I just bought a backpack to put a generator and some radios and other things in as a communications contingency. in case there's that kind of problem.
What would you believe would be a good step-by-step process for the average family or business to do to kind of protect themselves from this? You've been going to it a little bit with these gadgets. Mm-hmm. Even as far as watching what's going on in the news or whatever, solar flares, because you're in this, what would you think would be something we could just share with people that they could put on the front of their mind instead of it being a black swan where it's just out of their mind about how to take care of this?
Well, there's still value in paper copies of things, right? We've got birth certificates. We've got all kinds of paper in our life. And there are good reasons to keep copies of that in fire safe, you know, enclosures and things like that. Instead of turning in your old cell phone, you could you could actually keep one. I've got two of them right here, an old iPhone and an old Android phone that I will be putting in that Faraday bag. It's likely that the communications might not come on, but if the GPS is on, then the phone is still valuable as a GPS device, right? And so I'll put them in that bag with a couple of handheld radios so that my family can communicate, myself, my wife, and the kids and things like that. So we have a communications plan. If it's a solar flare or a very bad weather event, right, you want to have the ability to communicate. Cell might be out, even landline might be out. So different options like that to consider.
If there is an EMP, let's say it's somebody dropped one over Colorado or put it up in the air above Colorado and it went off, how long would that frequency affect things?
Well, it would kill all the electrical devices. So it doesn't matter what frequency you're on at that point, because literally everything with a circuit is dead. Systems that, you know, the military has backup systems and systems that are hardened against this. So the military is going to be able to still communicate, but it would, even then it would be degraded. So it's almost like a one and done. A lot of people, you know, have written stories about this. And the one thing they get right is, you know, after EMP, then, you know, you might be able to get landline working again, maybe some limited communication, but, it'd have to be somewhere that EMP didn't reach out and torch and, you know, disrupt that circuitry.
Well, they say, I don't know how true this is, if it's just a conspiracy theory, that if there's a globe or a national EMP go off in the United States within a year, 90% of the population would be gone, dead. Because there's no groceries, there's no water, there's no nothing.
No way to get money, right? If you don't have money set aside, you know, how are you going to pay things? For things, what is the value of money at that point, right?
Right.
And those EMPs could be, actually, you can create an EMP with a suitcase device. It doesn't have to be a high burst. You know, there are other threats to credit card processing or banking or the ATM network that could happen, that because all that data centralized at some point. So, yeah, it's a best thing to do is make sure you've got some money set aside along with your food supplies, and then some alternative ways to communicate. You know, one of those steps might be, you know, you don't have to be a prepper or anything like that, but one of those steps might be getting your ham radio technician license so that you can operate some of these phones. You can buy these radios and listen on the ham band, but it's technically against the law to transmit. Now, if we have a big EMP event, the government's not going to worry if you're transmitting.
What are they going to do, right?
Right, yeah. Right. As long as you're not running over the people who are trying to respond to the event. So, So plenty of alternatives there. There's some good folks online that can have, documents and processes to sort of walk you into this without costing you, you know, $2,000 for a Faraday duffel bag, right?
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, what's good about this is what we're trying to do, and you know this from being on this show before, is what we're trying to do is make people aware of what the possible threat is, give them some peace about how to protect their families, their businesses, and so forth. And that's what our action guides are all about. And we'll be putting content in there that about what you have to say and your ideas and that. But my last question is, and I don't know what you've written about this, but give me a 2-minute recap about any books or writings that, or even any kind of papers you've written that really talk about this.
Yeah, actually, I recently wrote a short story where small six person, because there's a female in the unit, is doing some cold weather training in Wyoming when the commander is talking to one of the people and the radio goes silent. And then he calls to his communicator, who carries a backpack full of radios, says, "Hey, see what's going on. You guys able to talk, or nobody can talk?" And he checks his radios that are connected into much higher military commands, and they're all dead. And instead of just driving airplanes up and dropping paratroopers out like in Red Dawn, that's the way that that story starts, is with an EMP. Because if somebody needed resources, especially food, as much as we generate, they would probably explode an EMP and then try to invade, because it would disrupt us so much, right? We'd have so many people, like you said, so many civilians in a hurt. Would the military be able to do what they should do? So lots of interesting stories like that, but they're fictional. They're fun to write. The likelihood of that happening is a whole lot less than you know, a fiction writer like myself might make it out to be. We have more to worry about from a solar flare disrupting our systems, natural disasters like what happened in your state of North Carolina.
Right.
Those are the things to really prepare for, because they're more likely to happen than the big EMP, you know, World War III invasion.
What did you title that short story?
Gone Native.
Gone Native. Can you get a copy of that now? Is that anywhere out there?
It's in an anthology of short stories called Apocalypse in Pieces.
Wow.
And so Apocalypse in Pieces is a bunch of us wrote short stories, put them together. And my good guy in my books is Crow Indian. So Gone Native, the fact that you sort of have to go native after the EMP goes off, all those kind of things that sort of fit. Fun, right?
Is that up on Amazon?
It is. It's available on Amazon.
Get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's got that World War III vibe, and it's just different stories from all over the world and the United States. So
that's good stuff. Well, brother, I really appreciate you sharing with us again. We will be creating an action guide and putting your content in there and pointing to those creative writings. And I hope that you and your family have a great Christmas season. And we will be back in touch. All right.
Thank you very much. It was great to see you again.
I hope you're blessed with this information. Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab to our channel, and we will send you advanced notices about upcoming threats to be discussed. Remember to capture the free action guides via our QR code embedded in the episode at the end. As a registered follower of the Worldwide Threat Podcast, you have our permission to download and share every episode and free action guide with your friends, family, and other businesses. Each Thursday, we'll post a new subject for you to consider and discuss. Set your watch to watch and to download the free action guide. Thank you. This is John White, the host of the Worldwide Threat Podcast. Please check out everything we're doing, and blessings to you and your family.